Our scripture reading this morning is Psalm 23. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, today we may proclaim the Lord's death by partaking of Holy Communion. Christ, our Savior and Lord, invites us to his table, and we rejoice because we know that it is his grace in our life that moves us to respond to the invite we received. So we celebrate. As you surely know, it is understood that Christ invites us to the communion table in order that he may strengthen us in our faith by this means of grace. You see, the Lord knew just who we are. He knows where we are weak. He knows how we are formed. He knows our frame, says the psalmist. He remembers that we are dust. I'm going to raise my pulpit just a little bit. See, that is why he comes to us not only in and by the word, but he comes to us also in and with the sacraments. So he has fellowship with us, his people, his bride. This morning, however, I want to put the emphasis a bit differently. Oh yes, the Lord surely strengthens our faith by means of the sacraments. But it is also true that the Lord asks for faith. He requires faith. Yes, he wants us to partake in faith and by faith. Our form for the celebration of the Lord's Supper calls specific attention to that, and correctly so. After all, it is only by faith that we can lift up our hearts on high in heaven, where Christ, our advocate, is at the right hand of his heavenly Father. It is only by faith that it is possible that we will cling, that we will not cling with our hearts to the outward symbols of bread and wine. I ask, it is only by faith that we will not doubt that we shall be nourished and refreshed in our souls with his body and blood through the working of the Holy Spirit, as truly as we receive the bread and wine in remembrance of him. The 23rd Psalm, which we read, speaks in a very striking way about the assurance of faith, about childlike trust and confidence in the Lord. You understand? See, the word childlike must not be confused with the word childish. We may not be childish, but the Lord does ask that we come before him as children in our daily walk with the Lord. Once you understand that, you understand also that childlike has nothing to do with inexperience. It does not mean that there will not be challenges and difficulties which we will have to face. Remember, when David wrote the 23rd Psalm, he was not an inexperienced chap who was getting his feet wet for the first time. In all likelihood, David wrote this psalm either when he was fleeing from Saul or when he was fleeing from his son Absalom. You can be sure, childlike confidence does not mean, it does not signal inexperience. Rather, it means, it signals complete surrender. You see, the poet David was a mature man, a man who had experienced life, a man who had tasted bitter disappointments and many frustrations. You can be sure, David knew what it means to be down in the dumps. But he was nevertheless a man who, in spite of all of that, spoke with childlike trust and confidence in this psalm. And see, it is the Spirit of God who works that faith in the heart of the child of God. And just so, it was the Spirit of God also who directed David to write, to compose this expression of faith. Were anyone now to ask, why? Why was David directed to write this psalm? Then the answer lies herein. The Spirit wants us to learn from this expression of faith what the gift of faith, what the life of faith must be, the life of faith to which we are called today. You understand, of course, that it will not be possible to do justice to the entire psalm this morning. I want to focus attention briefly on the fifth verse. These words, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." The 23rd Psalm is often referred to as the Shepherd Psalm. And to be sure, there is good reason for that. After all, David surely talks about the Lord as the shepherd, as the good shepherd here who cares for his sheep. He feeds them and protects them, and yes, he leads them in the pathway of life. But the symbol of the shepherd is not the only symbol used by David in the psalm as he speaks of the Lord's care for his people. He also pictures the Lord as the gracious host, the host who honors his guests by inviting them to sit with him at his well-prepared table. Yes, he is the gracious host who invites his guests to share with him the joys of life. Oh no, there is no miserliness here. Food and drink are lavished upon the guest. His cup overflows. The guests are honored, moreover, in the anointing they receive. The host has generously anointed their heads with oil, which was a sign of gracious care bestowed. And they may enjoy all of that, all of those bounteous gifts. Yes, they may enjoy all of that in the presence of their enemies. Those enemies burning with jealousy and hatred, you can be sure. Those enemies can see them, but they cannot touch them. Well, now, that is precisely what the Lord does for us, his children, who in faith confide and trust in him. See, they know the Lord in and by faith. They know also, I ask, they know intimately the joy of life, the joy of living, irrespective of the problems and the difficulties that must be faced, possibly on a daily basis. Oh, it's true. It is a difficult art, the art of living, the art of knowing and enjoying the joy of life, especially when there are so many things that overwhelm us, so many things that can so deeply trouble and disturb us. So you see, so the question that comes to us is relevant and meaningful. Do we, do you understand that art, the art of living, the art of Christian living? Remember, it can only be understood by faith. And faith, your faith, my faith, faith in the Lord our God, it is really so very joyful. Because you see, faith enables us to see beyond the setbacks and the difficulties of life, which are there and which can be very real. But by faith, we will no longer focus our attention on such difficulties. And by faith, we will see over top the obstacles and see beyond them. After all, we are the children of God, children of the Heavenly Father. And by faith, we may have the wonderful assurance that our God cares for us, as indeed a shepherd cares for his sheep, as a father cares for his children, and yes, as a host cares for his guests. Well now, so by faith, so we lay hold on the joy of life, which is ours in Jesus Christ, in him alone. See, that is God's gift to us. It is the gift that lies beyond the reasoning of the natural man. And remember, well, no one can take it from us. Oh yes, sometimes we may think it is far removed from us. All kinds of things seem to rob us of that joy in the Lord. But I repeat, no one can take it from us. And nothing can destroy it. No sad experiences, no disappointments, no problems we face can rob us of that joy. I think of the prophet Habakkuk. He knew a thing or two about obstacles and disappointments. But he knew also the joy of the Lord. Listen carefully to what he writes in chapter 3 of his prophecy. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and to be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. See, that certainty, that assurance, it is a gift of God. It is a gift He gives in the way of faith, in the way of loving obedience to His word. And surely you know, we need that gift, that joy of life, the joy that cannot be explained in terms of or in light of our life's circumstances of the moment, the joy that so often escapes us and is contrary to the circumstances where we may find ourselves for the moment. Because, remember it well, this is the honor which the Lord bestows on us, His children. He prepares a table for us, and He anoints our heads with oil. So He honors us. So He lets us enjoy the joy of life in rich abundance. Now, to be sure, He gives it in the way of faith. And it is true, they, namely the adversaries, the people who reject Him, they indeed see the gifts which He, the Lord, bestows on His children. But they will not begin to understand it. Because, you see, they do not understand what the Apostle John said when he confessed that the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. But how far that can be from us, time and again. We who confess the Savior, we tend so easily to forget. Ah, yes, we weary each other. We rob each other, as indeed we rob ourselves, of joy. We act as though we have no helper. And then the enemy gloats. Then our adversaries sneer at the church. Then they mockingly say that the church is finished, that the kingdom of our Lord has no future, that it cannot stand in view of the problems of the day. As surely you know, there is much complaining today outside the church, but also in the church. And to be sure, it is true, there are a host of problems to be faced. When you look around, there are many things that are indeed frightening. But remember it well. But if we truly rejoice in the Lord, fully assured that He cares for us, that He it is who sets the table for us, then we will indeed know of the difficulties, and we will know about things that are upsetting, and they will fill our hearts with fear. But then we will not complain as they do who have no hope. Then those frightening things will not rob us of the peace that is beyond all human understanding. Then we remain joyful in the darkest moments because we know that we are the guests of the Lord. Then we know that we are His children who belong in the home of our Father. See, the table of the Lord is well supplied. He feeds us and He nourishes us. He helps us in our deepest sorrows. He upholds us when we are discouraged and depressed. He surrounds us with His love and grace in our greatest difficulties. So you see, so the question really is, do we know who the Lord is? That is, do we know who He is for us, for you, His child? Do you know how bountiful the treasures of the covenant really are for you, for your life? See, if we do, well, then we will know for sure it will go well with us in the land where we live, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. See there what it means to partake of the Lord's Supper. Our God gives us the crown, and our adversaries, within and without, are helpless. He invites us today, even now. Have you heard Him? Come then, let us rejoice in the Lord, our God and our Father, for Jesus' sake. Let us partake of the supper of our Lord in faith, to the praise and the glory of our God. Praise the Lord. Amen.